WORQ, Green Bay, Fox Cities. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up For The Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
The man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, David Fiorazzo.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up For The Truth. Julaine Appling will be our guest today, Wisconsin Family Council. It's been, gosh, I think a couple months before since we've talked to her, so we're excited to get an update. We're going to talk about religious freedom, and we've got a lot of headlines to cover, so let's get right to it and go to the throne. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this new day that you've given us, the sunshine. We appreciate that, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that your Son, Jesus, shines in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we would be the salt and the light in this culture and country that you've called us to be. We thank you that you always promise to be with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. We pray that you'd continue to use us. We've all been given different gifts and abilities and talents and treasure, and we ask, Lord, that we would be faithful, that we would be obedient to your word and faithful to do the work that you've called us to do, whatever capacity that means for each one of us. Bless the listeners right now, whoever's tuning in or listening by podcast, encourage their hearts and strengthen their faith today, Lord. Teach us your ways. May we walk in your truth and give us undivided hearts to fear your name, that we may seek first the kingdom of God and be the examples, the Christian examples of love, but also speaking the truth in our culture. We love you. We lift up this hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, Julaine Appling, Wisconsin Family Council, is back with us. Welcome, Julaine. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, David. Always good to be with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to just catch us up here. It's been, I think, a couple months since we've talked with you, but there's some good news in the headlines, and there's some bad news in the headlines. But before we get to that, first, give us an update on what you're doing. You've got something going on called 2020 Vision, Contending for the Faith, Challenging the Culture. Please tell us what that's about.
Well, thank you, David, for that opportunity. And always thank you for allowing me the privilege of being a guest on Stand Up for the Truth with you folks there at Q90. So, every year we do community-based events around the state, and we get to, 12 to 16 different communities to meet the people and give a presentation. And as we were thinking about what we wanted to do for this next round, because we begin our new season of those events in the fall, we were looking at 2020, and like everyone else, I'm sure they're going to take advantage of that 2020 idea as it relates to vision. Hmm. What we know is that 2020 is coming, and it's going to be coming quickly, and it's going to be a huge election year, David. As you know, you know, here in Wisconsin, we have a very important Supreme Court race that will have a primary in February, and then the general election in April, and then we have our fall primary in August, and then, of course, the presidential election in November. And we know that these are golden opportunities. And so as we were thinking about how we wanted to talk about the impact of Christians and the responsibility of Christians, we frame it in this idea that it is for us as believers. As Jude says in verse 3 of that incredibly interesting book that precedes, the final book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, that we are to contend for the faith. In fact, Jude says we are to earnestly contend for the faith. And the faith, of course, that he's talking about is the faith, he goes on to say, that was once delivered to the saints. Well, that's the gospel. And as I say in the presentation, if we don't contend, strive for, fight for, stand up for, and all of that, we contend without being contentious, of course. But if we don't do it, who's going to do it, David? Mm. If we as believers don't stand against heresy, and that's one thing I love about Stand Up for the Truth. One of the things that you folks have always done is to have, be the watchman on the wall, looking out over the ecclesiastical landscape, if you will, saying, where's the heresy? And how do we stand up against it? How do we push back? And we need to do that. We need to be the ones as Christians who are saying, you know what? As we move forward, we have to look out for those who are wolves in sheep's clothing, coming into the church, coming into the Christian community with false beliefs that are going to rock and shake the foundation of people. And then the second component of that presentation is challenging the culture. You know, too often as Christians, we don't challenge the culture. We just say, well, you know, maybe I don't believe that, or I don't think that's right, or it's not for me. But, you know, this is America. Everybody gets to do what they want to do. Well, that's true on one level, but that doesn't mean that it's always good. And it certainly doesn't mean that it is good for the collective culture. Someone needs to challenge the culture with the truth. Q90 does that every morning on Stand Up for the Truth. We try to do that through Wisconsin Family Council and Wisconsin Family Action, by our positions on issues, by the messages that we give over radio, the presentations that we give, the social media platforms that we have, every means we have. We have to push back. And part of that, David, is that we have to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Yes.
And so we have to, part of our job is to equip the saints to challenge the culture. How do we do that? We do that in our church. We do that in government. We do that in our communities. And we push back against those voices, against those agendas that are hurting people. Let me give you a great example.
Sure.
If we as believers don't start standing up in a very real way, educated, polite, gracious, kind, but principled, with grit and with some determination and some moxie against this transgender agenda, we are going to see tens of thousands of young people's lives ruined. They are going to crash and burn, David. Look, this is the issue of the day. This is where the LGBT, okay, Q, and now they have more letters in that,
the alphabet,
acronym. but this is a big one right now, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, David, the culture is assaulting our children. We as believers know the truth. We know God. We know what the first book of the Bible, Genesis, says about the creation. Our loving creator God created male and female. That's it. No more. End of discussion. He created male and female, and that is the reality and the truth. The culture is lying to children. Absolutely lying. I think it's child abuse when mm-hmm. schools do this, and when the culture, the media, and, you know, entertainment world, all that. But we as believers have to be equipped, and not just equipped. We have to be willing to mm-hmm. challenge the culture.
Yes.
And so that's what we talk about. Tonight we're down in Elkhorn. In fact, Justice Dan Kelly, our Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, will be joining us and giving a wonderful presentation. He came to our West Bend event recently, and he talks about the role of the judicial branch and the importance of having justices and judges in that judicial branch who honestly understand what it means to abide by the rule of law and to properly interpret the Constitution and not be out there making up laws.
Excellent.
That is a situation, as you know, is outside the purview of the third branch of government. So that's what we're doing. We're taking that all over the state.
Excellent. Now, Elkhorn tonight, we are on your website, wisconsinfamilycouncil.org, under events, and you have the 2020 vision posted there. I'm guessing you guys will be adding more events through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it won't be through the rest of the year, because what we found is, you know, we aren't real quick here. So about the first year that we were doing these, we were running them into the mid to late November, and lo and behold, the attendance really fell off.
Holidays.
Well,
huh?
It's hard to compete with Thanksgiving and Christmas, right?
Yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
We give everybody a break, but in middle of January, we're gearing up again. We will do 8 events between middle of January and the first Thursday in April. And actually, David, our last event will be in Green Bay.
Oh,
at
wow.
The machine at the pizza ranch there in Green Bay. And that is going to be the Thursday before the election for Supreme Court on Tuesday, whatever that date is. I think it's the 4th or 5th of April, I think. So we're leading up to that. And by the way, that is also the presidential preference primary here in Wisconsin. So I don't anticipate a lot of Republicans paying attention to that race, but certainly people who are aligning with the Democrat Party will pay attention to that, because that's when they'll be getting their nominee ready. But so we'll have 8 events all over. We're be in Waukesha County, clear up to Green Bay, down. We're just all over during that period of time. So we'll be posting those dates very soon. We're trying to nail down venues right now and make sure that the venues are prepared for us to come on the day we want to be there.
Okay. Well, this is David Fiorazzo, Stand Up for the Truth. Our guest, Julaine Appling. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is, why do you suppose more Christians and parents aren't engaged in what's happening until it seems like it's too late, until something happens in their teenagers or young child's public school that they are threatened? And hold on to that before you answer, Julaine, because I want to quote another Stand Up for the Truth guest, Tony Garule, who will be on with us in a few weeks from Radical Truth. He said this, and I'd love to get your take on this, and then why more people don't engage, Julaine. He said, while growing up, I was told there were two topics you should never talk about, religion and politics. It was after I became a Christian that I realized these are actually two of the most important topics to talk about, because the former has to do with where you will spend eternity, and the latter can determine the freedoms you have in the meantime. Julaine?
Well, your guest, Tony, that's just hit it out of the park. It's absolutely right. You know, somehow in America, we've made people think that, you know, talking about religion and talking about politics is divisive. And you know, look, it's messy. I may I tell you that having a constitutional republic, not a democracy, but a constitutional republic is messy.
Yes.
Okay. When you elect the people who represent you, you're going to have a variety of opinions, but we should always be able to respectfully and with civility be able to discuss our differences. And certainly we should always protect the freedom to share. And here's why I talk about politics. We need to have the freedom to share our faith so that people's eternities can be with the Lord God, not with Satan in hell. Mm-hmm. And one of the distinctives of America has been that we have been the main means over the last 100 years or so, maybe closer to 200 years, where of the propagation of the gospel worldwide, David. And why does that happen? It happens because we have religious freedom.
Yes.
And there's two things, religious freedom and prosperity. Unprecedented prosperity. Look, missionaries aren't wealthy, but people of middle class standing in our country make enough money that when they give to their church's missions programs, the church then and churches collectively can then send enough money to our missionaries to keep them on the field. And that has been the story of missions around the world for literally decades and probably a couple of centuries now. And that happens because in America, we believe and have believed that socialism is wrong, and that biblical principles of actually going out and working and earning your money and then deciding how you want to use your money that God has given you after you tithe to your church and, you know, do those basic things. But that discretionary giving has always been the means by which we've sent the gospel around the world. Of course, that's involved with politics.
Yes.
I don't think religious freedom is inherently political, David.
No.
You know, can I just give people an example?
Yes.
Back in the 1700s, the city of Philadelphia said, we are freedom-loving people, and we want a bell that will represent that. Mm. And so they commissioned what we now know as the Liberty Bell. And you know what they have inscribed around that bell?
Proclaim liberty throughout the nations,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, Leviticus 25:10.
Amen.
The freedom to have our belief and to practice our belief in a public way is a precious, precious gift. And when it means that we can't talk about religion and politics because they're somehow, you know, verboten and forbidden, that is a death knell.
Yes.
That's what, you know what? The more I think about that, the more I'm understanding that that's one of the reasons we're in the mess we're in.
Amen. Amen.
We bought that lie.
Yes. And Julaine, I want to point you and actually our listeners to an image that you can easily bring up on Google or any your search engine of choice. If you were to bring up a satellite image of the Korean Peninsula at night, do that right now if you're listening to this program. Julaine, do you know where I'm going with this?
I think so.
If you bring up this image, it's fascinating. You can get all these different from this, these science photos or whatever. Bring up the Korean Peninsula at night, satellite image. What do you see? You can see the border of North and South Korea. The North is dark. It's gloomy. It's creepy. There's something odious about it. But south of that border, South Korea, it's lit up. It's a beacon of Christianity and freedom and prosperity and industry. I mean, the whole peninsula, the southern part of that is lit up. Why is that? Some might say, well, Christianity, that's partly right. Well, politics, that's partly right. The answer is freedom. Freedom.
Right.
South Korea, it's one of the best examples that we can have of what could happen to America, what God willing never will happen to America, the darkness and the oppression and the state control of everything that causes the people to be oppressed. That's when we lose our religious freedom. So look at the satellite image of the Korean Peninsula at night, friends listening, and let me know what you think.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it almost looks like they're under a blackout order,
yeah,
you know,
yes.
Like under war blackout, like in World War II, and
yeah.
They did that. And, you know, it is, I'm looking at it right now, David, I'd seen it before, but I'm reminded that that is really a vivid image. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have so much to be thankful. It's November. It's the month where we really think about Thanksgiving. And, you know, Thanksgiving has really lost its meaning in our country. People talk about Turkey Day and all that. The reason we've lost the meaning of it is we've forgotten the source of our blessings. And the source of our blessings is Almighty God. America isn't special or great let me rephrase that. America isn't great just because we're special people. America is great because we have a special God who in his infinite wisdom somehow determined he was going to bless this country.
Amen.
And he allowed people of faith to come over here. Look, the founding of our country is unique. There is no country that has been founded in the way for the purpose that America was. When the Pilgrims and Puritans made their way over here on that treacherous voyage in 1620, leaving everything they knew, all their way of life, the security, sometimes they left family members, everything, to come to America and then get blown off course and landed, you know, way north of where they intended to land. When they landed, they brought their faith with them. They brought William Bradford, an incredible Christian leader, governor of the Plymouth Colony, and they brought the Geneva Bible.
Yes.
And that was their guidebook. And so our country was founded for the purpose of religious freedom, founded on the principles found in the Bible, the Word of God. Perfect? Oh, my word, no. Plymouth Colony wasn't perfect because it was filled with imperfect human beings, just like we are today.
Amen.
But founded for the right reasons, an attempt to build a country. And read the Mayflower Compact, for Pete's sake. The Mayflower Compact makes it so clear. You know, and by the way, just to give people a quick history lesson, that Mayflower Compact was written on board the Mayflower because once they realized that they were going to be landing someplace where they weren't expecting to land, they needed some kind of governing document. And that Mayflower Compact became America's first self-governing document. And it's all over. It is written about why they came and for the propagation of the gospel, and that they came under the direction of providence, and they were looking to God to guide them. And look, that is our DNA. That is
Amen.
Our DNA.
Yes.
And we look like South Korea for that reason.
Mm.
The reason we aren't living in the darkness of North Korea is because we understand. And you know what? We're living still on the coattails of that. But I'm going to tell you, David, and you know this as well as anyone, it could get dark here very, very easily. when we allow things like the transgender issue and the robbing of, and when the civil, so-called civil rights clash with religious freedom, when we allow those so-called civil rights to bury, just demolish religious freedom, when we don't value human life and we think it's disposable, whether you're unborn or whether you're sick and people deem you not having any quality of life and you're expendable and a host of other things. And oh, by the way, everything I make should go to the government so the government can give it to somebody else who isn't working. That's how you bring darkness.
Amen. That's right. And when we come back, we're going to talk about just a little bit more, Julaine. You piqued my interest to talk a little bit more about William Bradford and those early days in America. But we've also got to get to some good news and some bad news on what's going on in the headlines regarding religious liberty, the Trump administration, and some House Democrats trying to strip tax-exempt status from pro-family groups. And we are very concerned about that one. But more with Julaine Appling on Stand Up for the Truth when we come back.
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to David Fiorazzo.
We're going to talk in a minute about a couple big wins for religious liberty, which may indicate the tide is turning. But first, Julaine, you mentioned off air that you've got a resource for parents on how to combat this transgender agenda. What can you offer Christian parents?
Oh, man, David, it is so important. Parent, you know, you were talking earlier about why are parents loath to get in and, you know, involved with this and wait too long. Part of the reason is fear. Secondly, they don't understand it and they don't know how to address it. And so our friends at the Minnesota Family Council, a group like ours there in that state, neighboring state, put together what they call a parent resource guide for understanding the transgender issue. It was Minnesota specific at the beginning, but then all of us around the country saw it and we said, could you please make this more universal? And they did. And it is now available in two different formats. And it is documented, David. It's fully researched. It is endorsed by medical personnel who specialize in helping people with gender dysphoria. It's endorsed by people who had gone down the transgender thing and then done what they call detransition, meaning gone back to their biological sex that God had made them, and other medical experts and all kinds of people. And it's an excellent, excellent tool. So there's two ways to get this. It is available for free as a PDF document at genderresourceguide.com, genderresourceguide.com. The other way that you can get it, because sometimes people don't want to, I forget how long it is, 30, 40 pages or so. Sometimes people don't want to print that kind of thing off. We are getting a shipment in our office, hopefully within the next few days. We've already given out 100 copies of it in a bound form, but we have it available in a bound form for a very, very modest suggested donation of $5. That covers the print costs and the shipping costs. That's it.
Okay.
So we're not making money on it, but look, it's not just for parents. Every member of the clergy should have it, especially if you're a youth pastor. You should have it if you're a counselor. School board members should have this, and if you're in a position, you should get this into the hands of friendly school board members so they understand this issue. So important, David. We've got to help these people address this issue before we destroy more young lives.
Oh, and it's coming at us faster than what most of us have not even imagined. But we've got that link. We'll put that in today's podcast, genderresourceguide.com, equipping and educating parents to respond to this pressing issue that your sons and daughters will have to deal with. Now, go to a couple headlines. First, some good news, Julaine. President Trump is to be commended for some of the things he's doing, some of his policies, including another campaign promise to protect religious liberty. A couple days ago, it was announced the Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services said it would be halting an Obama-era anti-religious liberty policy affecting faith based adoption and foster care groups. And it says under President Obama, HHS required faith-based adoption and foster care groups receiving federal funding to place children in same-sex households. And as most of our listening audience knows and understands, Christian and faith-based groups would jeopardize their federal funding for refusing to place a child into a same-sex household. Now, Trump HHS responded saying the proposed rule represents the Trump administration's strong commitment to the rule of law, the Constitution, federal statutes, and Supreme Court decisions. These require that the federal government not infringe on religious freedom. And, Julaine, I'd love to get your take on that. Maybe you even know an update.
Well, you know, we're here doing a fist pump and, you know, jumping up and down and say hallelujah. Look, it has been so long since we have had a president stand up for religious freedom in any kind of really overt way that this is just, it, you know, this is cause for, you know, the holy dance here. look, I don't know if everybody knows this, but we're in National Adoption Month right now. November is National Adoption Month. Now, I'm very sensitive to that. I'm adopted. And our organization really promotes adoption heavily because we believe it's an incredibly important opportunity and certainly the best option for people who are considering abortion. But look, the faith, we saw this coming. We saw it coming the minute that we had the Supreme Court decision back in June 26th of 2015, the Obergefell decision that forced same-sex marriage on everybody in this country, in spite of all the states like ours that had voted say, no, we don't want it. So we saw this clash coming, and Obama furthered it. He took advantage of saying, you know, well, we're going to have this and everybody's going to be in equal footing. And so faith-based adoption agencies, which are so critical to the adoption process, and people are screaming about how many kids are, you know, languishing in foster care, and that number is growing because of the opioid crisis. Every day it's growing, and we can't get them out. And well, you start shutting down faith-based adoption agencies because you don't like their religious beliefs about placing children in the homes of same-sex or transgender couples. Now you're exacerbating that problem. Mm-hmm. You are making it who knows how many full times worse.
Yeah.
And so here comes President Trump. And this is something people need to understand. Did President Trump actually himself do this? Well, not directly, but here's how it happens. Elections have consequences. President Trump was able to appoint the people to be the secretaries and the department leaders of these agencies who were good, solid conservative people, pro-family, pro-life people who understand what God's plan for marriage and family means to this nation. And they went out and hired people who understood things from their viewpoint. And that, lo and behold, they're pushing back and saying, hey, faith-based adoption agencies, you have the right. You have a constitutionally protected right of conscience and religious belief to be able to practice your faith and your belief as an adoption agency. And the state nor the federal government should be allowed to stop you from doing that. And we're going to do what we can to protect it. Now, in order to stop them from doing that, in my opinion, what you have to do is you have to have activist judges who believe they know better than everybody else and that they have lawmaking authority, which is an absolute lie.
Yes.
The Constitution does not give the judicial branch lawmaking authority. That's the legislative branch, folks. And another thing, David, I'm going to put a plug in here.
Sure.
The more we know about how our government works, the safer we are.
It's
the ignorance that destroys us.
I agree.
Hosea, I close all my radio programs that I do personally out with, you know, this is Julaine Appling with Wisconsin Family Council reminding you the prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And part of the reason we get to where we are and, you know, why we see these things happening is we don't understand how our government is supposed to work according to the founders and the governing documents. So this is a huge win. Elections have consequences. Let me ask a question, David. You can answer it or
sure.
You can just ignore it. Do we honestly think this would have happened under any one of the other options we have had or are currently looking at for president?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you brought that up because we can talk about a few of those. You want to go there?
Sure. Why not?
Because some of them, I would say possibly all the Democratic candidates, I should say that Democrat candidates, all of them seem to be coming against religious freedoms, against Christians and families and what we stand for. And I just want to mention Elizabeth Warren. She, in a recent plan, wants to spend taxpayer dollars to pay for transgender surgery for members of the military who want it. This is a quote, sex change operation deemed medically necessary by whoever makes that decision. And this care will be available under Medicare for All. That's Elizabeth Warren. And meanwhile, on the campaign trail, Beto O'Rourke is no longer running, I guess, but he was campaigning hard on stripping tax-exempt status from pro-family groups and from those who would oppose same-sex, quote, marriage. And just about a month ago, the House Dems wanted to strip that status, the 501c3s they made in their Ways and Means Committee. They held a hearing. You probably know all about this, yep. Julianne. You can probably give us a little update. But there's a quote in here. You know, they went after the American Family Association. And there's a quote that's kind of eerie, meaning they want power and they want to come against Christians. It says, the American Family Association, a tax-exempt hate group, said homosexuality is a poor and dangerous choice and has been proven to lead to a litany of health hazards to not only the individuals, but also society as a whole. And the Ways and Means Committee tweeted this a month ago or so and said, quote, these remarks are vile and only work to perpetuate hate crimes and stir division. There's no reason the U.S. government should continue to subsidize groups like these. And the Ways and Means Democrats are shining a light on this issue today. So they're calling. Well, you pretty much, the Wisconsin Family Council, you pretty much are in line with what the American Family Association and the Family Research Council in D.C. all line up with the worldview. So they would come against you as a hate group as well, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, Family Research Council is one of our mainline partners, and we count American Family Association as a partner, work with them in many ways. And yeah, we're lockstep with them. Look, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I think people need to understand this. Elections have consequences. When the Democrats, liberals took over the U.S. House of Representatives in 2018, they took over the chairmanship and the majority numbers on every committee in the U.S. House of Representatives. How do you get to an impeachment? That's how you do it. Hmm. You wouldn't have done that if it had been Republicans holding and more conservatives holding the majorities there. And so the Ways and Means Committee is way out of line, but David, they are being consistent with the worldview that the Democratic Party platform espouses.
Yes.
Okay, and so so all of our listeners need to understand that the only way the liberal progressive agenda can be advanced in its totality, and I'm talking about socialism, I'm talking about every aspect of it, the sexual anarchy, everything. The only way that can be advanced is to destroy religious freedom and to completely, or as much as possible, eradicate the influence of Christianity in this country. It's not the influence of the Islamic faith. It's not the influence of the New Age religions or Buddhism or Hinduism or any of those things. It's biblical Christianity that continues to be an impediment from their perspective of advancing that very radical, dangerous, destructive agenda. And so they take advantage when they have these majority positions and some authority and power in our government. They take advantage of the bully pulpit they have. They
yes.
take advantage of the votes that they can muster and the messaging they can get out to make it sound as if Christians are dangerous people, you know, and it is, they've got the microphone, David.
Yes.
They've got the microphone. And so if people don't think elections have consequences, they need to stop and think about it. No, right now, are we being shut down? No, your radio station isn't being shut down. Our organization is, you know, they're not battering at the door and demanding we shut up, but the day could be around the corner. And because it's not here now doesn't mean it can't come. You know, we could be just as fast as election cycles are flipping things. Tuesday night, right? Virginia. Notice
yes.
what happened in Virginia?
Yes.
That entire state government went from red to blue.
Mm.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's been about 25 years since that happened. But what's happening right now is states are being flipped from a liberal to conservative and conservative to liberal majorities in state government. Now in like one election cycle, which is basically 2 years. Okay. So this because of the information age and the ubiquity of the internet and, you know, instant information and texting and all of that. And so we don't think it can happen tomorrow. Yes, again, it could happen tomorrow.
Exactly.
These things are just picking up steam. As Christians, we got to pray for our elected leaders, and we have to be engaged and involved.
Amen, Julaine. Let's highlight a couple more that came out that are good cases, wins for religious liberty that I'm sure you're well aware of. Our audience might not be. Number one, the Air Force colonel that was a combat veteran that his two-decade military career was on the line. And all he did, he says, there will always be a pending opportunity for you to stand up for what God had said in his word, as the differences between where society is going and where God has always been become greater and greater. They were trying to suspend him for not signing a certificate of appreciation for a same-sex spouse of a retiring service member under his command. Well, a year later, the Air Force Review Board, the board's agency, determined that his name was Bohannon. He had the constitutional right to exercise his religion and that he acted appropriately without discrimination because his supervisor evidently signed off on it. So it's interesting, but he said this, Julaine, if these cases were lost instead of won and our efforts had failed, would we become bitter? How would that be an impact to our witness? So when we win, take it in stride. When we lose, keep fighting. And I'm sure you heard about that one. The other one I just want to mention real quick was in Michigan, where the federal government tried to close a meatpacking plant because the owner displayed an article with a Christian theme on the break room table. His name is Don Vanderboon. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture inspectors threatened to stop inspections of the plant, which effectively would put him out of business, until he removed a religious tract that he made. It had a scripturally based argument against same-sex marriage. It was sitting on the break room table. Anyway, the good news on that is that under the new Trump administration, the Agriculture Department changed the policy to respect religious freedom, which is, of course, something we got to be fighting for. Just love to get your take on at least these two cases, Julaine.
Well, first of all, this is a private company in Michigan, right? I mean, come on. Okay, so what they're basically saying on the challenge is the owners of this privately held company, corporation, have to check their religious freedom and keep it under wraps if they want to be able to get some the federal sign-off on their, you know, their product.
Isn't that amazing?
And this is ridiculous. Private industry should not by the way, this whole idea about Citizens United that the left is upset about, you know, the Citizens United case was that corporations aren't people. Well, who in the world are corporations if they're not people?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just the church isn't a building. A company isn't a building. A company is just like a church in the sense that a company is the people who own it, the people who invest, the people who are, you know, who are running the place. And this company has as much right as anyone else to express an opinion, religious or otherwise, on an issue. Now, that's their right. Is it wise? Maybe, you know, some people might say, yes, this is a wise thing to do. Other people might say, no, it's not wise, but that's their own right. Now, the other thing I would say about this Air Force situation is individuals who are serving in our armed forces do not drop their First Amendment protections because they are in the military.
Exactly.
Any more than a student who walks through the public school door or a teacher or staff member who walks through a public school door loses or concedes their First Amendment rights simply because they're going into a government school. That is an unconstitutional understanding. And the reason these are perpetuated, have been up to recent days, is because of an activist judiciary. What you're seeing is the influence of a conservative president trickling down into these departments, into the military, into the Pentagon policies, and into the, you know, even the policies affecting meatpacking industry from the federal level, saying, wait a minute. And by the way, remember when Jeff Sessions was attorney general, one of the things he did there was issue and under President Trump's direction, a very, very good statement about what the AG's office would do regarding the protection of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sit back and enjoy this. And David, you're exactly right. We need to be gracious in victory and gracious yes. in defeat.
Yes.
As Christians. Yeah, absolutely.
One more, and then I want to get to one last point before we have to say goodbye, Julaine. The city of Phoenix, good decision out of that Supreme Court for the owners of an art studio. That was good news. So Freedom won in Arizona regarding a non-discrimination ordinance there to force those owners to create wedding invitations to violate their beliefs. They didn't have to do that. So praise God for the good news. I did want to give you an opportunity to sum up, if you can, in just a couple minutes, because we're out of time, yep. about the fetal dignity laws. What are they and why do we need these?
Well, you know, look, it comes from the fetal dignity laws are what we've been working on here in Wisconsin for several sessions. This is that once an unborn baby has been the victim of an abortion, that their bodies, their remains should be treated with dignity and not tossed in a dumpster or sold to the highest bidder.
Mm.
You know, yeah. I mean, we've got the proof. We know that it's happening through the videos that were done that reveal that Planned Parenthood and others are complicit in selling the tissues and the body parts of these babies who have been so brutally aborted. And so across the country, there have been efforts to pass laws, including here in Wisconsin, that respect the dignity of the aborted baby. And most of those laws include a proper disposition, meaning that the abortuary has to either, usually it's bury them or properly, cremate them or, inter them or whatever the various languages that different states use. And, you know, there's been an attempt at various times to also do this at the federal level. But interestingly, we've tried three or four times here in our state and are trying right now to do that and prevent the sale and use or the trade and use of the body parts of aborted babies and also require this proper disposition. And we haven't had the moral courage here with Republican leadership. It should have happened when Governor Walker was in office,
yes.
and they wouldn't do it.
Yes.
And they just wouldn't do it. The lawmakers, we don't want to upset the UW, blah, 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 blah. And it's just, I just get so weary of that.
Yeah.
And right now there's a bill out there, Senator Andre Jacques from up in your area is the author in the Senate. And Representative Janelle Branchon from down in Menominee Falls is the assembly representative. And what we're looking at is language that is very similar that is being talked about at the federal level as well as in other states across the country. This needs to happen. When a nation thinks that when a baby is aborted, that baby is somehow less than human and doesn't deserve some kind of a dignified disposition of the fetal and body remains, we're in trouble.
Yes.
We're in serious trouble.
Yes, we are. Well, fortunately, we've got more people trying to raise awareness about this issue. And we thank you so much, Julaine Appling, and all your work at the Wisconsin Family Council. We've got your links in our podcast. God bless you, and we will we'll see you hopefully in the near future. We will definitely talk to you, Lord willing, next month.
Okay, looking forward to it. God bless you all. They're good friends of ours. All right, talk to you soon, David.
Thanks, Julaine. And when we come back, one more victory to report for doctors who don't want to violate their conscience, and also some comments on our show about Kanye West yesterday, and we'll end with a final question. Are you lukewarm? Next on Stand Up for the Truth.
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to David Fiorazzo.
We'll read a couple comments on yesterday's show about Kanye West and the great debate about his Christian faith. Comments at standupforthetruth.com if you would like to chime in, or there's a couple of posts from yesterday on Kanye West. One more victory we didn't get a chance to talk about with Julaine, but a federal court in Texas ruled that doctors are not required to perform gender transition surgeries, if there were such a thing. No, there are, but you know what I mean. If the procedure in question violates their medical judgment, religious beliefs, or conscience. So that was a good headline, a good story coming out of Texas. You can get that at CBN News. We'll have that in today's podcast as well. We really focused on like five good stories, the good news today. So this is kind of like the good news broadcast. We better talk about the gospel too, the ultimate good news that Christ came to save us, and all we need to do is trust in him and believe on the name of Jesus. So comments from yesterday about Kanye West. Someone chimed in and said, if God can save Muslims in a dream and create the world in 6 days, without coffee, haha, then why can't he save anyone? Leave the poor guy alone until he gives you reason. In other words, watch the fruit. See if Kanye West continues to preach the gospel and produce fruit. And one more. Jeff chimed in and said, and here's one for you, Crash. You can respond to this. You commented on Standing for the Truth, there are artists you won't play on the radio because of their beliefs, such as their stances on marriage. My question is, why do you still play Lauren Daigle? She clearly hasn't stood up for biblical marriage in interviews. When on TV, she never proclaims Jesus. She seems to be one of those that used Christian music to try to make it in the mainstream. She used to be one of my favorites, but now it is harder for me to listen to her.
And we have gotten people that have kind of weighed in both ways.
Yeah, both sides, yeah.
And I, back when she first had that interview with the first time she came out, and I'm going to paraphrase, correct me if I'm wrong. I think she was asked, is homosexuality a sin? And I think she said, because I don't remember, but whatever she said brought question where I went to Mike LeMay, the general manager.
Like, we're all sinners, she said.
And... yeah, I really don't remember, so yeah. I don't want to misquote her.
It's been a while.
But I just said, okay, kind of like back in the days of Hillsong. And we were going like, okay, that's strike one.
Mm-hmm.
This is strike two. I'm reaching out to the label. Okay?
Okay, good.
And I reached out to the label, and I said, this is a
concern. The record label?
Yes. Third time, I think, Carl Lentz, it was about abortion conviction. And I went, okay. I reached out to CMG, and I said, I want to talk to, I think it was Joel Houston. And I'm making my point here. They said, if you want to, his comments are all on his Twitter page. You can interact with him on Twitter. And I tried, and he didn't respond. So I said, all right, for now, we're going to pull Hillsong Music, Hillsong Worship, Young and Free, until I can talk to Joel Houston. Is that his name? Because it's been so long.
Brian Houston?
Brian's
Joel,
son?
Joel Houston?
One of the Houstons. Really, and again, because it's been so wild, and I confirmed it with our leadership, and they said, you know, we'll do that. And it was kind of interesting because Matt Metzler was even the music director at the time, and he agreed with that.
Hmm.
And since we never heard anything, we're still not playing Hillsong.
Okay.
Now, when she did that first interview with Lauren Daigle that I ever heard anything like that, so I went to leadership and said, "What do you think?" And they said, "Stand by." And so I did reach out to the record label, and I said, we're on yellow alert. That's what I said to them.
Okay.
And
I think we've answered the question.
So why do we play Lauren Daigle? Right now we're on yellow alert.
We're waiting for another, let's see what she says in future interviews.
Because I've had people say, why aren't you playing Kanye West? And I said, he has not actually released those songs to Christian radio yet.
Interesting. But by the way, if you listen to yesterday's Stand Up for the Truth podcast, we played Jack Hibbs. Pastor Jack had a little bit to say and weighed in on that. He went through all the lyrics in Kanye West's new project, Jesus is King, and he was pleasantly surprised and encouraged by the God-glorifying lyrics there that Kanye West has in the album. So still to be determined, we're watching. But don't judge. Remember when you were a young Christian at 6 weeks in the faith, 6 months in the faith, let alone 6 years maybe, you started bearing fruit and started maturing, taking care of old habits and old maybe acquaintances that would draw you away from God. He's got to do that in his friends. Some would say Kanye West is in an unequally yoked marriage right now. And that's up for debate, too. So
back to the Lauren Daigle is... you would not miss any songs that we don't play. And this happened way back when Kid Raider was here. He pulled off Jars of Clay. That was before I was in that kind of position. He pulled off Jars of Clay. They did something I don't even know about, but he pulled off all the Jars of Clay music. And so it's just a process that we go through. We definitely want your feedback on it because we did have people reach out. Do you want to keep playing Lauren Daigle or not? So it's something that's always there.
All right, one more story that we didn't get to that we'll just touch on the headline here. We don't have time to get into it. Now we've shared five good stories, five great headlines, good news regarding religious freedom. This is breaking. A judge voided President Trump's rule protecting doctors and nurses from being forced to do abortions. And this is sad. A U.S. district judge ruled yesterday that the Trump administration cannot force a rule protecting healthcare workers from being forced, cannot enforce a rule from protecting healthcare workers. It's just sad. So now they're basically forced to participate in abortions, even though they don't believe in doing abortions, or they believe in life. And that, so that's got to be hopefully appealed. That's one of the bad news headlines. But remember, it all falls under religious freedom. Remember that satellite image of the Korean Peninsula? We'll put that picture in the post today, in the podcast post. But remember William Bradford of Plymouth Plantation. He said, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony. Why? For the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. We just need to be reminded, friends, in America, in the earliest days in this land when Christians experienced hard times, their desperation caused them to rely on God. That's why they came here, the freedom of religion. Conversely, when things are going well, we often choose to rely on ourselves. So throughout history, as it is today, the Lord allows us to go through trials, persecution, hard times, bad outcomes on court cases, things in our culture that are flipping on its head when evil is being called good, which is what we're seeing in our culture regarding the transgender issue, regarding the whole idea of absolute truth. We're getting confronted with these issues every day, and we need to know how to respond. So good news about tomorrow, Elijah Abraham is going to be back with us. We're going to wrap up today's show in a minute and tell you what we're going to discuss tomorrow on Stand Up for the Truth.
We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's David Fiorazzo.
I am so excited. I know we're going to mention this tomorrow, but a couple of guests that are coming back next week, Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries and Alex Newman from Freedom Project is coming back. I'm talking to Jay Siegert and a lot of great guests in the near future. But tomorrow, it's Elijah Abraham of Living Oasis Ministries. We're going to be talking about the lukewarm church, what that means, what that looks like, the description, how do we know if we are, and then trends in American Christianity and worship methods that may not be biblical. What? In the church? Yes, that's what we'll be talking about with Elijah Abraham tomorrow. Stand Up for the Truth comments at standupforthetruth.com, and we'll mention your comments on the air when we get them. David Fiorazzo, Crash Connell, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. Keep speaking the truth about things that matter.